again, and welcome to Countdown to Eternity, where we look at issues and stories in the present that relate to what is going to be happening in the last days. And we're discovering along the way that what Scripture has predicted is happening right now. Today, Pastors James Gaddis and Don Stewart talk about how critical race theory is embraced and taught in schools and even in churches all across America.
Well, hello again, my dear brothers and sisters. We are so glad that you are joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. I am always super blessed to be able to tell you that I have the great Don Stewart right here with us, talking to us. We've got some great stuff to talk about. Don, what say you, my dear brother? We just finished Independence Day. What a great celebration. How are you? How was your weekend? And let's get started. We got lots of stories.
Yeah, I'm doing great. The weekend was fabulous. Thank God for freedom and independence that we still have. Now that we have it, hopefully we'll have it for a while. But the way things are going, James, we don't know. Top headline, America's largest teacher union votes to help members, quote, fight back against anti-CRT rhetoric. They're loaded for bear. So the first story, James, I think, again, we need to explain what the critical race theory is. But here is the largest teachers union in the United States, some, I think 3 million members. And they voted, I'll get the story here in a second. They basically have said, we're at war. In a nutshell, basically, we're at war with those who are anti the CRT, the critical race theory. And so, you know, they're going to fight. I got that one next. It's about the middle school drama teacher, God bless her, who is suing these people. But anyway, this is sad. America's largest teachers union votes to help members fight back against anti-CRT rhetoric. The largest labor and teachers union has voted to spread and further the teaching of the quasi-Marxist CRT, which it describes as a reasonable and appropriate framework for students to understand and interpret America's past and present. This is the NEA, the National Education Association. James, what thinkest thou?
I think yuck. I mean, okay, so you may have heard Don just a little riled up as he was reading this, and that's because guys like us get seriously affected when we see stories like this because of the devastating effects that it has, not only on our children, but on our nation. And critical race theory is really ugly. For those of you that don't know what it is, let me just explain it to you in a nutshell. Now, there is a lot to learn about it. It really comes from critical theory, which comes really, in essence, from at its core, what we call the Hegelian dialectic. And I'm not even going to get into all of that stuff, but let me just simply get into on a really basic level, some of the main assertions of critical race theory. First of all, critical race theory absolves anybody of individual responsibility or action. Critical race theory, by nature, and has always been this way, this is the representation of critical race theory, is really tribal in essence. And so it's all about whether or not you are black or white. That's really typically what it deals with. What critical race theory in essence asserts is it asserts that everything is racist. It makes the assertion that everything in the United States of America is racist, that there is systemic racism, and it's based on the original constructs of created by our nation's forefathers. Nothing, of course, could be further from the truth. We know that when the Declaration of Independence was written, one of the original writers of the Declaration of Independence, we know this, there were 27 disagreements that they had with King George III. He was 38-year-old king, very, very powerful. And originally when it was written, there was a 28th disagreement that they had with them, and that was the fact that he was one of the main propagators of slavery, and they wanted to see the abolition of slavery. As a matter of fact, the abolitionist movement actually started in 1774. So nothing could be further from the truth. Now, the reason why that line was removed, you can go to my Bible study that I did at CalvaryChapelSignalHill.com that I taught on the 4th of July, and I actually talked at length about, it's based on Galatians chapter 5, but I talked at length about the Declaration of Independence and how that all happens. But anyway, based on that, they basically now say that everything is racist. They say that your The traffic that we have is a result of racism. They say that empirical data is racist. So in other words, if you say 2 + 2 = 4, that is a racist assertion. They say that it's actually racist to require somebody to be home or be at work on time. That time is a racist construct. There is a lot of that that's going on. And in essence, what it is designed to do is it's designed to divide people. It is Marxist in nature. It is uniquely and remarkably destructive. And virtually every aspect of critical race theory is very much opposed to what the Bible actually says. And what makes this very difficult to be able to battle and very difficult to be able to fight is there are lots of pastors who even support critical race theory. And I've been dealing with some of that quite a bit. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's why it's so destructive. And the teachers' unions are supporting it because in many cases, they're just simply ignorant. They don't know any better, and they're scared of being called racist themselves, which is why they don't want to oppose the big CRT machine. But some of the other reasons that are listed are amongst those that they don't want to be held accountable. There's a lot of other things that go on there. And it's because of the tenure we give these teachers that they choose to stand this way. These unions are corrupt. And there are a lot of wonderful teachers out there, but I think it's time that they start taking a stand with that stuff. And speaking of taking a stand, Don, maybe you could provide some more comments on this article in particular, but there's a great article you came up with that you read me just a second ago that deals with somebody taking a stand concerning all of this.
Yeah. Again, I want to echo what you said first. The NEA basically said they want to provide a study that critiques power and oppression in American society, including white supremacy and capitalism. All right. So let's go there. Okay. Here's a great story.
Ugly.
Illinois teacher sues the district, claims anti-racist curriculum teaching whites oppress violates. Okay. Middle school drama teacher in Illinois has filed a lawsuit against her school district, alleging it is a violation. It is violating anti-discrimination laws in the U.S. Constitution through its curriculum that pits different racial groups against each other in the name of anti-racism. Teacher Stacey DeMar, in her lawsuit filed in the federal court June 29th, alleges that since 2017, teachers in the Evanston Skokie District, District 65, have been made to go under so-called anti-racist training and continue to do so. Now, she's represented by the Southeastern Legal Foundation. Among a number of the objectives in the training, now listen to this, teachers are stereotyped by trainers and divided according to their race, the complaint says. Teachers required as part of the training to accept that white individuals are loud, authoritative, controlling, and to hold the view that to be less white is to be less racially oppressive. According to the lawsuit, it added that teachers were taught to modify their viewpoint to fit the theory. White identity is inherently racist and to denounce white privilege. If teachers oppose, question, or disengage from the views promoted in the training, the district, James, blatantly calls them racist, the lawsuit alleges. Hard to believe this is America, but this is what's going on.
This is ugly, bro. Look. I really truly believe in my mind and in my heart, I know what the scriptures teach about this stuff. And when you just take a moment to examine the ugliness of what's actually being said, it is literally against everything that the scriptures actually teach. I mean, how in the world can you determine a moral characteristics based on something that's immutable?
Yeah,
it doesn't even make sense. You're white, therefore you're angry and you're vicious and you're racist. I mean, and now you're beginning to see rhetoric amongst many of these teachers where they're talking to them about the need to eliminate whiteness from people, right? And it's just absolutely insane. Nothing about it is scriptural. Nothing about it is biblical. It's completely ungodly, and it's about time that people start taking a stand. So good for this teacher. I'm proud of what this teacher is doing, and I wish we had more teachers like that because God knows we need them.
Yeah, it says here, the complaint also says, James, now listen to this, people. I mean, this is what's going on with our teachers and learning. The children were also taught whiteness is a bad deal. White people send overt and subliminal messages that they are superior and black people are bad, ugly, and inferior, and that pretending not to see skin color helps racism, according to the complaint. You know, James, here's the thing that we really need to emphasize. We have here before. The Bible says there's only one race, the human race. We're just different, different colors of skin, pigment there. We all go back to, of course, Adam and Eve at the beginning. We go back to the, what God has put together in the greatness of humanity and the gene pool. And we're all one. We're all one in the sense that Acts chapter 17 says we're all descended. We're all of one blood, neither male nor female, black nor white, slave nor free, Greek or, Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And what this is trying to do, and make no mistake about it, is trying to divide America, where we'll have, basically black versus white. And unfortunately, it's taken hold, like you said, in the schools. But what's really pathetic, and you mentioned this, it's taken hold in a lot of the churches. There are actually pastors who are promoting this dribble. So what do you say to this, something like this, James? What is your response?
This is what I say. I say we have to directly confront it. It's evil. And as pastors, I think we have a tremendous obligation before the Lord to confront this nonsense, because this nonsense and this rhetoric that's going on is crazy. And by the way, even when I say confront it, can I just simply say that as we do confront it, we need to name the people who are Christians who continue to propagate this lie or support it in any way, whether it be disguising or on its face. And we, I've been talking about this. This is a discussion that I've been having as of a lot lately, a lot of discussion about this. We did a video at Calvary Chapel Signal Hill. We've done a couple of these videos.
Yeah, this is from our friend Charlie Kirk. Charlie did.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah, it says, yep. California pastor says we have to lay down our rights to comply with government orders. Someone told me when I sent it to them, they said, if the founding fathers would have paid attention to that, we wouldn't have a country, would we? And someone, I think, has forgotten to read the book of Acts where it says we ought to obey God rather than man when they're told not to preach the name of Jesus. This is incomprehensible to me that someone would say something like that. But that's the kind of stuff that's out there, James.
Well, and when you talk about the whole ridiculous notion that it's unbiblical to create an assertion of rights, he's so backwards and is so lost. He's so gone as far as his understanding of the scripture that he doesn't even know the scriptures anymore. I mean, he knows the scripture, but he's choosing not to tell the truth about it, right? He talked about the fact that if the apostle Paul asserted his rights, then his ministry wouldn't have expanded anywhere beyond Judea. When you really think about it, wait, hold on. Didn't the apostle Paul's assertion of his rights actually be the very thing that launched him into Rome and going all throughout in his missionary journeys? I mean, him asserting his rights was the foundation of much of what he did. God used his assertion of rights to go before Felix and Festus and eventually believed to go before Nero. I mean, what are we thinking when we're continuing to abuse the scriptures this way? It's a form of gaslighting, and the guy actually thinks that people are going to render to that respect. That kind of thing is not biblical. It's never been biblical, and it's completely ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And we do spend some time on this. We've released a few videos addressing this issue very aggressively, because the bottom line is, people like that who are in the ministry, and I really believe this, and I don't, people like that in the ministry need to either repent and completely take back the things that they say, or really truthfully, Dom, they need to quit. They need to just walk away, because the destruction that they're bringing upon people is unbelievable. And it's just very, very sad. But that's the reality of what we're seeing right now. And we need to start calling people into account as it relates to those things, because it is destroying our nation. And last I checked, me and you are shepherds. We're not in the business of confusing the flock. And I think it's important that we begin to bring clarity with respect to that.
Yeah. Now, I don't think it's coincidental, James, that we have this story also from Canada, where Justin Trudeau says, anger is fully understandable given the shameful history as churches burned down. He came up with some kind of half-baked, mealy mouth, they shouldn't do that. But it's certainly understandable, the anger why people do this, given the shameful history of the churches. Now, I mean, so does that mean, okay, well, let's just shut up, let's just go in the corner, not say anything, and maybe they'll like us? This doesn't work. It's just like the same thing we talked about, James, of dealing with Iran. If we just kind of treat them like we treat our other Western friends and allies, they're going to like us someday. They're going to trust us. We're going to be able to work with them. These people don't like us. They never will like us. They hate us because we represent Jesus. Jesus said, "Think it not strange they hate you. They hated me first." So this is what we're seeing right now. And we're going to see more and more of this. But here again, with the churches burning in Canada, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, giving this mealy mouth, well, they probably shouldn't have done it, but now I understand why, because of the what was the word he used again about the churches? The shameful history of the churches?
I can tell you this right now. You might run your mouth about the shameful history of these churches, Justin Trudeau, but it doesn't even come close to the shameful history of the last 6 months of your life. I mean, realistically, that man is a demonically inspired man. And in essence, what he's doing is he is formulating the politically correct way to encourage people to pretty much continue with the violence that they're continuing. And he's, you know, as a politician, he has to say, well, you can't really burn down churches because there are still a large contingency of people that are going to say, no matter what you think, that is an unacceptable thing to say. And so he can't necessarily say that. But what he is doing is he is carefully crafting in a very, very nefarious fashion and a very calculated fashion, a proverbial go-ahead, a sort of a green light to tell people to begin to hate these individuals that love the Lord. This kind of campaign was going on in Nazi Germany. This was the same type of thing. And it's literally him seeking to move the Overton window to get to that point where people are going to accept it and it's not going to be anything that's difficult to hear. And once people can accept it and it's not difficult to hear, then burning a building is not going to be a big deal. Matter of fact, doing much more than burning a building is something that they're going to continue to do. And it's sad because what's going on is the Canadians need to have a louder voice and they need to speak out because they are literally losing everything that's dear to them right now because of the decisions of these tyrannical leaders.
Yeah, one of the things that was discovered, there have been terrible things. There have been tragedies that have taken place that the church has done, you know, which is wrong. This is the organized church, and it's the Roman Catholic Church, let's just face it. They're in Canada. They had some issues there that came to light, some bodies that were buried of murders that took place before. This does happen. But James, we have to emphasize, this is the physical, visible church. It is not Jesus Christ. It is not true believers in Christ. Just like the Crusades, you know, a bunch of them. These were French for the most. They were mercenaries. They weren't Christians going on the Crusades. The same things happen here. People do things in the name of Christ. But Trudeau was painting us all with a broad brush. Now we understand what the shameful history of the church is. Well, there's shameful history, of course, of people in the organized church that claim to be Christians. But again, people don't separate what Jesus taught, what Jesus did with respect to people who've claimed to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the distinction. And he's putting us all in this one big category, which that indeed is shameful.
100%. I could not agree with you more. That is a very, very, very well articulated position on the issue. And it's like what's going on right now. Somebody asked me recently, they said, well, James, aren't you bothered by the fact that some of the things that you might say might actually be dividing the church? Or aren't you bothered by the division in the church? And I give them the same answer every single time. I'm not bothered by it one bit because it's not division of the church. What it is it's the threshing floor and God is separating the wheat from the chaff. Because if they were never with us, and God is just simply revealing them, and I think that's the important thing to actually show here.
Yeah, it is sad, you know, because people, when they use the name of Jesus Christ, Christianity, historically, we've seen, you know, horrible, horrible things done, and we admit that. But again, we can't emphasize enough, this is not biblical Christianity. Jesus would have never, you know, given his stamp of approval on this. And so, to throw us all in this one big category, these Christians who are, you know, are the woke Christians there who are doing, you know, working with BLM and Antifa and the such like and whatever else it might be, they need to make the distinction between what the biblical Christianity is and what people have done in the name of Christ that Christ himself would basically speak against. And so, but they're not doing that. They're, you know, they figure, well, it's easy. And here's where I'm coming with this. It seems easier just to join them. Okay, yeah, Trudeau's right, you know, and we've got to shut up. We've got to be careful here because of the shameful history. And so we have to lay down our rights to comply with government orders because we want to be good Christians and let people walk all over us. Well, the Apostle Paul objected, you know, when someone slapped him because he said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, like you said. And that's what got him to Rome, to preach the gospel there and to get him to, in his ministry. And Jesus, same thing, you know, when he was, you know, there with the Roman soldiers at the time of his betrayal and arrest. And so there's a time to speak out. There's a time, you know, where we become silent. But when, if we don't say something, James, we're not going to be able to say anything. I believe that's where it's coming to, simply because if everybody's lying down and saying, okay, I'll get whatever the government says. Well, we know in the future, James, the government of the world's going to say, you take this mark on your right hand and forehead. If you don't accept that, you can't eat. You have to worship this person, this first beast of Revelation chapter 13. We know him as the Antichrist. Well, what are they supposed to just obey that? The government's, this is going to be a worldwide government that says out what you must do. Are we training people to think that way, to act that way? I think it's horrible if we do that. And that's why, yeah, we do have to speak out in some of these issues.
Yeah, amen to that. And I hate to say this, but some of these pastors that continue to speak concerning all of this rhetoric will be the same ones that'll be joining with the false prophet when the false prophet says, hey, this guy's all right. Let's just follow along. Everything's okay. There's no problem, because that's exactly where it's going. I mean, we've looked and seen what's happening with the Pope right now and all of the other nonsense that's taking place. They really are acting as sort of a function of the religious arm of a really secular movement. And it's really dark, but that's the direction that we're going in, Don.
Yeah, and we know where it's going towards. So what I see, James, what's pathetic is this, the conditioning of people just to accept whatever the government tells you to do. And because we want to be good citizens. Well, again, we're told to be good citizens, to pray for the leaders, to live a quiet and peaceful life as much as lies within us. We want to, we try and do that, but there's times we must speak out. And this is one of these times we got to speak out, or we won't be able to speak at all.
Yeah. Amen and amen to that. And again, I think it's very, very important that we do speak about these things. And that's why every now and then we'll dedicate part of the show to dealing with it, because it does tie in, as you just mentioned, to many of the things that are going to be done or that are going to happen in the last days. And I think all of those things are very, very important. So Don, listen, last word, I'm going to give it to you because we've got about 3 minutes and I want to give it to you. I know we are running out of time and we're running out of it very quickly. That's what happens when we have a great conversation. What say you, my dear brother?
Okay, thank you, James. You know, what we do on Countdown to Eternity is look at issues, basically what the Bible says the world will be like at the time of the end. We're telling you that what Scripture has predicted is coming to pass right now, whether it be in America. Remember, America's not in last days Bible prophecy. It breaks our heart to see it, but we're being torn apart from the inside. We're being divided right now. So we can see how that will come to pass if nothing changes. And that will we be have almost another civil war here, which is totally unnecessary. We have stories always. We've got stories right now in the Middle East with Iran. You know, the clock is ticking on this JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. They've got to either renew it or Iran will go on to make a nuclear weapon. Look, they're going to try and make a nuclear weapon anyway. But the point is, all these things that we see are setting the stage for what the Bible says the world's going to be like at the time of the end. So the reason we do this program is a means to an end. It's not to tickle someone's ears, to be sensational, this or that, or even to go after people. We hate doing that sort of thing. The point we're making is the Bible is what it claims to be, the word of the living God. The evidence is there if people are willing to look at it. And we're just here laying it out for you that we're going to see times like this. It's going to be difficult times at the end. As we've said before, 80% of the religious persecution in the world today is against Bible-believing Christians. It's only going to get worse. But the good news is we know how this story ends. We win in the end in Jesus Christ. So what we're attempting to do is tell you to be bold in your faith, to trust the Lord. You know, he's going to protect us. He's going to be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And just to be a bold witness during this time, because we need Christians to stand up and say something, stand for something, not just sit there and say, well, whatever the government says we'll do, and then maybe they'll like us. No, no. We've got a message to proclaim. We want to preach the gospel. We want to let people know there's one way to get to the one God and the person of Jesus Christ. So that's why we do this program. That's why we get emotional about it sometimes, because we see people, instead of doing that, are getting off the beam and doing all these causes that basically are tearing the country apart, tearing Christians apart, instead of bringing them together. And so this is why we do what we do. We love you people. Our heart breaks for this country, but we got to tell the truth.
Amen and amen. And I have nothing to add to that. What a perfect encapsulation of our heart and our mission here at Countdown to Eternity. So on behalf of the great Don Stewart, we sincerely hope you enjoyed watching or listening to this as much as we enjoyed making it. May God richly bless you until we see you in the sky or again on this show. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity.
You're listening to Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Catch a replay at countdowntoeternity.com. And it's available wherever you get your podcasts. You'll also find Countdown to Eternity on YouTube and Rumble. Subscribe to the Calvary Chapel Signal Hill channel to watch us on YouTube. And on Rumble, you'll find us under James Cadiz. As Pastor James mentioned, he's released a number of videos dealing with the Critical Race theory. And you can watch those on YouTube right now. Don Stewart has written a number of books, and you can access them for free at educatingourworld.com. And download some of his audiobooks too, so you can listen and learn on your way to work or on your vacation. Again, at educatingourworld.com. Have a question for Don and James? They'd love to hear from you. Email us through the website at countdowntoeternity.com. Countdown, the number two, eternity.com. And we are listener supported. Your gifts help to make this show possible each week, and we're grateful for it. To make a donation, visit countdowntoeternity.com. That'll do it for this edition of Countdown to Eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill.